Hi, this is Farah Osbeck. Welcome back to Military Law and Life Matters, the podcast that arms you with knowledge so you don't become a victim of injustice. Happy to be back again Tuesday morning to share with you a case from the Board of Review Reading Rooms, going through the different services cases they've decided for the Discharge Review Board. Today, I'm going to talk about a Marine Corps Lance Corporal. But yeah, I'm just going to talk to you about the cases to bring up different issues that came up in cases, different discharges, and to explain why or why not someone's discharge was either upgraded or not upgraded. So hopefully this is going to be helpful for you to give you some ideas to hopefully you'll learn something when you're maybe helping trying to put together your discharge upgrade. And yeah, it could be helpful for you so you know what type of cases, you know, might be acceptable in terms of it being inequitable or if there was some impropriety, meaning that's kind of a fancy word for, you know, there was some like legal error or processing error in the case. So yeah, so let's talk about this Lance Corporal. This young man was in the Marine Corps for 3 years and 4 months. So he was in quite a while. Almost made to his 4-year enlistment, and he was discharged in 2016, had enlisted in 2013. So he was, 8 months away from finishing his enlistment. But what happened is he was discharged for personality disorder, right? So there's a Marine Corps regulation that talks about the different type of discharges. And personality disorder in all the services, they kind of talk about it as it's something that it's a disorder. It's a mental disorder, but it's not something that's considered that would entitle you to like a disability. So they say it's a mental disorder. And if it's so severe, so, you know, there might be people who have it, but are able to serve in the military. But if an individual, they suspect that they have something, the military, they'll send them to a military doctor, the hospital to get tested. And if it's concluded that they have a mental disorder, which is personality disorder, it has to be so severe that the member's ability to function effectively in the military environment is significantly impaired. So I'm assuming like sometimes now this diagnosis actually gets a lot of flack. If you Google it, you'll see there's a lot of people that, a lot of organizations kind of complaining that they just discharge people for personality disorder because you don't get a disability rating for that. It's not conditioned something that's compensable like PTSD or depressive order or things like that. So they, a lot of people, organizations were complaining that supported veterans saying, this is a way for military to get rid of people. Just say you've got a mental personality disorder. So what they've done, the services they now require, like if you're going to be discharged for personality disorder, it has to be reviewed by like higher ups and you have to be counseled and things like that. But generally, like the general rule is, well, let me go back to the Lance Corporal and then I'll talk about the rule. So he was discharged for personality disorder, but what's a little bit odd is, at least it's not in the write-up, it doesn't say what he did, It just said retention warning counseling. So you could have a personality disorder, and I'm assuming it would come to the military's attention if the person's doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing. But this individual was not discharged for like misconduct. Like it doesn't say he was, he was assaulting people left and right or doing, inappropriate things, but they still gave him a general under honorable conditions. So they gave him a general discharge. So if you just have a personality disorder and there's no misconduct, which I guess it's kind of, you could have a personality disorder and then you're not able to do your job, but you're not committing misconduct. Then like, there is no way, like that person should get an honorable discharge. It's not within their, their ability to control that if they've got some mental health condition, right? Some mental disorder, according to how they phrase it under the statistical manual of mental, that DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. So if someone has that, but they're not able to do their job, they're not able to function, then, they really shouldn't get a general. They should get an honorable discharge. This guy, they gave him a general, but it doesn't say what he did wrong, right? And guess what? I think the Navy Discharge Review Board figured that, and they said, well, he's got a mental disorder, a personality disorder that, is apparently beyond their control. It's not a disability, but he did a lot of stuff in the 3+ years he was in. He was deployed. There's no evidence of PTSD or anything, but he did a lot of positive things. And the Navy Discharge Review Board said his duty performance and his positive aspects of his career warrants an honorable discharge. So they upgraded his discharge to an honorable. And then what they did is they kept the narrative reason to say, because it's all under like this convenience of the government type of thing. It remains condition, not a disability. So that's what it says on the DD-214. But they upgraded to an honorable. So, I mean, he's going to get his GI Bill. So narrative reason, they remains condition, not a disability. And they change it to an honorable. Again, if there's no like misconduct that he's assaulting people left and right or doing whatever, misconduct, or why, I don't know why they give him a general. At least it's not written here. And I think the board, the Navy Discharge Review Board, noticed that. And they said, okay, no, he did a lot of great things. They didn't discuss any misconduct that he did. Other than he has this retention warning counseling. It doesn't say what it's for, but like a warning. It's not, he didn't get non-judicial punishment. So it seems like it was a very reasonable decision. So I guess the lesson learned here is, if you got a discharge for personality disorder, you may want to look into that, because sometimes they were allegedly just discharging people for that as a convenient way. I mean, I haven't studied that issue. I haven't had any discharge cases for that. I know when I was in the Air Force, it wasn't a common thing that there were people though discharged for that because they were committing some misconduct, but a lot of times it would be honorable unless they did something really egregious. So anyway, that was a different case. I never discussed that type of case, but Google that personality disorder. And again, if you have that, and if there's some evidence it was really something else, like you had actually like PTSD, I mean, that's something very important to bring up. If you later, let's say you were discharged for personality disorder, and then you later got out and went to the VA and they say, oh, no, you have depressive disorder or PTSD, 100%, that's basis to get that upgraded and changed. So anyway, the case of the Marine Lance Corporal, good for him. He got his upgrade changed, and he did this with a document review, no counsel. He might have done it himself. So again, you could do these cases yourself. That's why I'm encouraging, trying to talk about these cases and encouraging you to read through these cases, listen to my podcast to put your application together. The main thing, you don't want to do an application, just say, this is unfair, change my discharge. You got to give a reason for why your application was not correct, like unjust or improper, etc. So anyway, that is the case of the Marine Lance Corporal who got his discharge upgraded. Good for him. And I hope he's doing well. So I am now going to talk about the military life matter portion of the podcast, which I always, as I say, enjoy, because I don't have all these in my head. I have to look certain things up, things I've read, but I enjoy because it's like always stuff I'm always sharing with my kids too. And for me, I love to read and learn different things. And then when you find quotes that like really touch you and like, wow, that's true. You kind of, you write it down because you want to read that once in a while. So, all right. So here's one again, this is by Naval Ravikant, someone who I've learned so much from, honestly, just one of the smartest people I've ever read things from. He's brilliant and he has such great things. He actually has someone wrote a book. He didn't write it, but someone wrote a book. You may want to read. Let me see. I was just looking for it because I have it. You may want to look it up. So this guy, Eric Jorgensen, actually wrote a book. So, and it was actually free online, but if you want to buy it, but Naval Ravikant didn't make any money for this, but he wrote it based on just reading things about Naval Ravikant and got Naval Ravikant's permission. And Naval authorized it only if he made it available online for free. Of course, the printed version was money, but it's called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, Almanac, Almanac of Naval Ravikant, Ravikant. I highly recommend you read this, buy it, get it online. It's just really fantastic. He's just like one of my favorites, as you can tell. So here's one of his quotes. He's got tons of quotes on everything, but here's a really good one too. So people who live far below their means enjoy a freedom that people busy upgrading their lifestyle can't fathom. So what he's saying is basically, look, you don't need like millions and millions of dollars to live well. The main thing you got to do is, you know, if you want to live well, you just don't spend a lot of extra money. I mean, there are people like doctors, lawyers, whatever, that, you know, make a lot of money, but then, you know, they lease, you know, Porsches, and they live, you know, rent a house, or, you know, buy very expensive houses, and they have huge mortgage, and all their payments for all this stuff they're trying to pay for whatever reason, you know, expensive country club fees. You know, I'm just kind of generalizing, I guess. But everything you're paying for, like, that's money. So you might end up making, I'm making this up, $200,000, but all your expenses come out to, let's say, $150,000 a year. It's very possible. So you're living, you know, no different than someone who's making $50,000 a year. You're not saving any money. So bottom line is, don't waste your money. Like, if you're young, or you're not young, you know, don't buy these new expensive cars. They're going to, as I discussed in another podcast, right off after you drive it off the lot, it's going to lose value. Like, don't waste it on that. Spend it on other things that are more important. Save it, invest it. You know, eating out is a very expensive, like, if you make food at home, it's really not that expensive. Although I'll tell you, things are a lot more expensive these days. There's a lot of inflation, but you know, eating out, unless you go to McDonald's, get a hamburger for $1 or whatever, $1.30 or whatever it is these days. But eating out is very expensive. Imagine, like, I do like eating out, especially like when my kids are here, because they don't live with me. But when my kids are around, I love to take them out. I just love to go out to eat and get a good steak or something. And it's so expensive, like, really, but it's worth it, that experience with them. But that's like once in a blue moon. Like, if I went out to eat and got steaks every day, I mean, I'd go bankrupt. So, like, don't, you know, make stuff at home. It's a lot cheaper. Cook if you can. And it's also healthier too, honestly. So, you know, eating out is very expensive, you know, cars, unnecessary things, you know, maybe designer clothes. Like, who cares if you have designer clothes, really? It's just, you don't need designer clothes, you know, buy just regular clothes. You can even go to thrift shops to buy clothes, you know? So, the key is, if you don't want to be working, like, you know, 80 hours a week to make money, you know, just have a normal life and don't spend so much money on unnecessary things. Like, don't try to impress, what is the Joneses or whatever. Like, just decrease your expenses and you might be living, you know, better than someone who makes a lot more than you. You know, the person, I just, you know, generalize, like the doctor or lawyer who's making all this money, but then spending it on so much. So how much do they save? I don't know. But there are people like that. Definitely there are people out there that are spending so, like, almost their whole salary. And yeah, that's no way to live. So I guess the smartest way to do that, if you're trying to save money, like, make a budget, honestly, and then stick to it. Like, say you're going to have, let's say, $100 to goof off, like, to just waste, like, to go out or do whatever. I mean, I'm, you know, maybe that's not enough, but $100, and you can spend that the way you want it or whatever but make a budget and stick to it. And yeah, you'll, and then invest that extra money you have, really invest it in something, I'm not like an investment advisor. So, but, you know, invest it in something that's going to go up in value or not going to lose value. A car is going to lose value 100%. You know, a house, you know, yeah, those type of things, you know, they call them hard assets. That's definitely going to be beneficial, right? House, things like that. But don't invest in things that lose value the second you get it, you buy it. So yeah, this is Naval Ravikant. So people who live far below their means enjoy a freedom that people busy upgrading their lifestyle can't fathom. Yeah, don't try to impress people with your wealth. Yeah, you don't need to buy fancy things. I mean, people just like authentic people, not people who try to impress with fancy cars or things like that. People just like normal people, right? I just never really was into cars. So I guess I can't really appreciate that. I mean, there are people who are car lovers. So they, you know, it's something, but, you know, if you're young and you just got discharged, like, don't be wasting money on buying a fancy car. Buy something that's going to be enough for you to get to work. Later when you hit the jackpot or making lots of money and you want a nicer car, you can get one, but, you know, keep a good budget and then, you know, invest that money. and don't waste it. So that's my life lesson for today. I hope that was helpful, and I look forward to talking to you next time. Never ever give up, because there is always hope. Take care.